Well, how about some fun facts on shoplifting, huh? We're talking about the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, or as we've spun it positively here, how to live with integrity. And so see if you can guess these fun facts on shoplifting. How many adults shoplift? According to the National Association of Shoplifting Prevention, I didn't even know there was one of those things. It cracks me up. Do 1 in 11 adult shoplift, 1 in 17, or 1 in 21? Is 1 in 11 correct? Who shoplifts more, men or women? I think I just started a feud. It's actually neither. It's about even. Who shoplifts more, adults or kids? It's actually not even close. 3 to 1, adults shoplift more than the youngins. 73% of shoplifting is premeditated, or 73% of shoplifting is not premeditated. It's not. Like, people don't walk into a store and go, I think I'll steal today. Most of the time, people walk into a store and go, I want that. And they get it. And here's the bizarre thing. Like, a lot of people who shoplift will shoplift and buy something at the same time. I'm going, what are you thinking? One for me and one I'll pay for. Fun fact, one of the security guys backstage told me this. He used to work in shoplifting prevention. You know what the most stolen book is? The Bible. Look, if you need one, I'll give it to you, all right? So it's fascinating to me about this shoplifting, and I know this, nobody likes a thief, because shoplifters say, well, it's a victimless crime. I'm stealing from Walmart, or I'm stealing from Sears. No, you're not, because Walmart never pays for shoplifters. You do, because after someone pilfers their goods, they jack up the prices to pay for, well, the security cameras, the police officers, lawyers. I mean, it's an expensive proposition. In fact, the price tag of shoplifting every year in America is $13 billion. Doesn't that make you dislike thieves even more than you did before? Maybe I should tell you this. Cornell University Law School did an analysis on the cost of crime. And $13 billion is the cost of shoplifting. You know how much is the cost of white-collar crime? $300 billion. All crime, total, is $600 billion per year in America. Half of that is white-collar crime. So before you go smack-talking the blue-collar guy that pilfered a Snickers, you might want to talk to your the guy who's handling your money at Schwab or something. Many of you are upside down on your homes. And the reason, a great deal of the reason, is because brokers violated one simple rule. It's a rule that every one of us learned in kindergarten. If it's not yours, don't take it. I mean, it's not that hard. If it's not yours, don't take it. And so I want to talk a little bit about this idea of thou shalt not steal. And so I've come up with a list of, I hope this isn't overkill, 10 different ways that we steal in America today. Number one, theft. Obviously, you take a gun, you point it at someone, and you go, give me your wallet. You're a thief. Duh. Number two, lazy people on the job are stealing time. Look, you told your boss that you would work 40 hours a week, and so that is not your time. So if you're on Facebook, you're stealing his time. 10 minutes a day on Facebook, that's 50 minutes a week. You extrapolate that over a year, and you've just stolen a week of labor from your boss. And again, that's not a victimless crime, because now he has to hire more employees to make up for your lack. It is probably as much as white-collar crime, laziness on the job, accounts for as much dollar loss in business as white-collar crime does. It's the same thing if you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad. If you're promising your spouse, I'm gonna get these things done. I'm going to work hard while you're working, bringing in income. I'm going to save income by doing laundry. But if you're on Facebook or you're watching TV all day, that is not okay. And you may need to apologize to a spouse that you've stolen time that belonged to them. Here's number three, underpayment. Go from employees to employers now. Let me throw out a passage. Leviticus 19:13. Clear back there in the Old Testament, it says that if you're an employer, you have to pay your employees when the sun goes down. Because in those days, it was all day labor. So if I come to you for a job, I say, I'll work for you today so that I can feed my kids tonight. If you let me go home and you say, well, I'll pay you in the morning. Even if you do, my kids went hungry last night because of you. That's not okay. You have just robbed me. And the rule is, if it's not yours, don't take it. I want to play with that a little bit, move into a modern world. If you are underpaying an employee, you're robbing them of a livelihood that they deserve. So if you've got a carpenter, and he's working really hard, doing a great job for you, a plumber, an electrician, a yard guy, if you are getting out of him $100,000, that's what you make, and you're only paying him $30,000, and you make him get his own health insurance, that is a form of stealing, and that's not okay. Number four. If you are overcharging for services, let's say you spray for bugs, and it costs you $10 and 30 minutes to spray for bugs. If you're charging $100 for that service, you are overcharging, causing the economy to rise. It's the same thing when someone steals from Walmart. It is not a victimless crime. Here's one, number five. Now, I'm gonna offend some people. And so I just need to give kind of a preface to number five. When I put this list together, I got help from Pastor Don. this was his idea. Now I say that for two reasons. One is I don't want to steal his material without giving credit. And the other is if you're bothered by what I say, his direct line is 602. You're out of your mind. Here's what Don says. If you are working on commission, that a lot of guys on commission can do under-the-table deals that put money in your pocket that really should be going to the company, or cutting a deal on the side, or doing cash deals instead of receiving a check and not reporting that to the IRS. Number six, soaking your parents is a form of stealing. I think I might have got an amen on that one. Guess who lives with them? Proverbs 28, verse 24. It's an interesting passage, particularly in light of Pastor Don's message a few weeks ago, honor your mother and your father. It says, anyone who robs father or mother and says, that's no crime, is partner to a thug. Here's the idea. If it's not yours, don't take it. If you drive mom or dad's car and you burn their gas, was that your gas? Don't take it. If you eat out of their refrigerator, was that yours? No, don't take it. If you're sleeping in their bed and you're 40 years old and you're not paying rent, that is a form of robbery. And you might say, well, it's my mom, it's my dad. They love me. That's part of the problem. If we steal from our aging parents, that is a form of thievery. Here's number six, kind of my world, plagiarism. You know, there's a lot of preachers that will get on the internet, listen to someone else's sermon, and preach it as their own. In fact, there was one pastor named Bob Russell, really famous pastor, one of the largest churches in America. Going back to the days before the internet, he used to have these cassette tapes that they would mail out. They mailed thousands of them out to other churches. And pastors would listen to a sermon and go, I can't do better than that. So they would preach the sermon as if it was their sermon. Look, okay, I get that with maybe like an outline, but when you start saying, yeah, now my wife and I went out to dinner the other day, and you change her name, that's a problem. In fact, one time Pastor Bob Russell went on vacation, and he went to this little church, and the guy preached Bob's sermon. And so he's going out the door shaking hands. That was real uncomfortable. Of course, Pastor Bob, I'm sure, said, well, that was a fantastic sermon, brother. Look, that was funny. Get it? Number eight, piracy. If I were to walk out and pick up your cell phone right now, and I looked at the iTunes on there, would you have paid for all the songs? Or if I took your laptop home with me and I went through the programs that were on there, would you have a valid license for every program that you're running? Or if I went to your DVD library, would there be some that were just like a homemade DVD with a, you know, masking tape on it that said Saving Private Ryan or something like that? Piracy is a problem, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing it or whether China is doing it. It's illegal, and it is stealing. Here's number nine, frivolous lawsuits. But don't you hate those? It's like, you're kidding me. That person got $1 million because they spilled coffee on themselves. That person, I mean, whatever. The kind of lawsuits that the Bible even talks about, that being deceptive in courts of law because they can pay for it. No, you are not suing the company. You're suing the United States of America because we're all the ones that have to pay for that. Number 10, last is not least, taxes and tithe. Look, we owe taxes to our government. Did we not just celebrate the 4th of July? I mean, we blew stuff up like good Americans do. We pledged allegiance to the flag. Listen, if you pledged allegiance to the flag, but you cheated on your taxes, you're a liar. And something's not right. I love this country, and I love the freedom that this country affords me to worship. I love the good roads that I drive on. I love the democracy that we have, that we get to choose our elected officials. Don't you? Then we should pay taxes to support that government. Do you agree with that? Out in surprise, do you agree with that? Okay, I'm glad you do, because now I want to talk about tithes to the church. If you're saying, oh, I love what God is doing here. I love Pastor Don. I love the staff. I love our campus. I love that I can bring visitors here and know that they'll have a good experience. I like the inviting information center and the cafeteria. Okay, good. Then support what God is doing here. Now, I don't say that because I want your money. I say that because when we withdraw our tithes, we rob God. This is a statement directly out of the Bible, Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob me, God speaking, how will we rob you, God? Answer, by not paying tithes and offerings. Now, I know that was in the Old Testament, but the principle still applies, that we owe God every part of our life. Some of that is going to be our time. Some of that is going to be how we live our lives to honor Him. And some of it, quite frankly, is going to be the resources that God allows us to have. I want to press pause on that and move to point number two. It says, love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you live with integrity towards your neighbor, you will say, I respect your God-given rights. In fact, I don't think that you can simply break the eighth commandment. Whenever you break the eighth commandment, you are always breaking two other commandments. You remember when the lawyer came up to Jesus and said, which is the greatest commandment of all? It actually happened twice in Jesus' life. One time Jesus gave an answer. The other time he asked the lawyer to give an answer. I mean, the lawyer asked him a question. Which is the greatest of all commandment? And Jesus, knowing that lawyers would rather talk than listen, he said, how does it appear to you? And the lawyer said the exact same thing that Jesus said, two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else is under one of those banners. And what I want to suggest is that every time we break the eighth commandment in any of these 10 ways, every time we break the eighth commandment, we are also breaking the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment with it, because you cannot love your neighbor and disrespect their rights for property. You can't walk up and say, I know that's not mine, but I'm going to take it anyway, and say that you love your neighbor. Now, I want to actually have you turn in the Bible to that very famous passage, Leviticus 19, verse 18. That verse is printed in your bulletin. It's the love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to back up clear to verse 9 and get a running start at verse 18. I'm going to camp out here for about 3 minutes. So I want to ask you just to kind of buckle your seatbelt, because what I'm about to say, you kind of have to follow the logic before you get the big point. Fair enough? I'm not boring you, am I? Okay, 3 minutes. Verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather gleanings of your harvest. Because what God is saying is, this was one of the very ancient legal texts. He says, farmers, the edges of your field are for the poor. They don't have any other way to get food, so you leave that portion to the poor. And then he talked to people who had vineyards. He said, look, if you have a vineyard, I want you to leave the grapes that drop to the ground. Don't pick those up. I want you to leave that for the poor. And if you take every little grape, you're robbing the poor. If you take every kernel of wheat, you're robbing the poor. Verse 11, do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Okay, fair enough. We get that. Verse 12, do not swear falsely by my name. That is actually the third commandment, to not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. But what interests me is that this third commandment in verse 12 sits between verse 11 and verse 13, both of which talk about robbing. Verse 13, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. So if you're using the name of God in vain, it has something to do with stealing from a neighbor. I want you to take that and put it in your pocket. We'll get back to it later. 13b. Do not hold back wages of a hired worker overnight. Remember, we mentioned that earlier. So if you're an employer, you can't rob from an employee. If you're a neighbor, you can't rob from a neighbor. If you're rich, you shouldn't rob from the poor. Verse 15, do not pervert justice. If you're a judge, you should not rob from the poor or from the rich. Verse 16, do not go about spreading slander among people. Why do you think you do that? Because you're trying to defraud someone. This is what HR departments have to fix. This is what PR departments do. This is what political campaigns are based upon, trying to rob from someone else. But what's the rule? If it's not yours, don't take it. That leads us up to verse 18. You see, if you look at the context of this passage, loving your neighbor has everything to do with not taking what belongs to them. And so whenever you break the eighth commandment, you're also breaking the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. But you also break the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God. How is it that stealing is not loving God? If you look in your program, turn it over to the second page, point number 3. When you love your neighbor, what you're saying to your neighbor is, I respect your God-given rights. What you say to your God is, I trust you. God, I trust you. And whenever you take what is not yours, whenever you take what God did not put in your hand, you're saying, God, you are deficient in taking care of me, so I'm going to take care of myself. In fact, going back to Leviticus just one last time, then you can unbuckle your seatbelt. If you read that passage in full, you would have read 4 choral refrains. 4 times it says, I am the Lord your God. Verse 10, the very end, I am the Lord your God. Down in verse 14, I am the Lord. Verse 16 ends, I am the Lord. And verse 18 ends, I am the Lord. It's a pretty important phrase, right? I am the Lord. You read it 200 times in the Old Testament. Half of the times you read it are in this one book. Why? I mean, why is Leviticus always saying 106 times, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord? Well, whenever you read that, it's at the tail end of a command. Don't do this because I am the Lord. Now, you know how commands work. We tell somebody, eat your vegetables. Why? It's good for you. Grow up big and strong. Do your homework. Why? Because you want to get into a good college someday. Don't speed. Why? Because you'll get a ticket and have to pay it. So most of the time, we say to our fellows, do this or don't do this because it's to your advantage. Now listen, not stealing is to your advantage. I'll get to that in a moment. But the reason that I don't steal is not because I want to be happy. The reason I don't steal is because the Lord is my God. And when I steal in any of these 10 ways, the people around me who know that I'm a Christian look at God and destroy his reputation. It might be unfair that Christians can destroy the reputation of God, but you know it is true, and you know how many of your own neighbors have said, I don't want to go to church, just fill a bunch of hypocrites. Look at the kinds of things they're doing. Stealing damages the reputation of God, and he does not deserve that from me. Look at the passage we've listed for you there in the program, James 4, 1 through 4. It's a wonderful passage. But what struck me about this particular text is how many of the Ten Commandments are listed in it. In fact, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I look down there in the third sentence. You want something and you don't get it. The Bible calls that coveting. That's one of the commands. The next sentence, you kill, that's a command. And covet, that's a command. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. That actually is a command we'll talk about next week in slandering your neighbor. Couple sentences down, you adulterous people, thou shalt not commit adultery. We talked about that last week. That is a command. I'm interested then in this passage that talks about our coveting and our wanting things, that it's connected with so many other Ten Commandments. So I kind of put my thinking cap on this for the sermon, and I just started walking through the Ten Commands. I was shocked at how many of the Ten Commands actually are directly connected with stealing. So that when you break the Eighth Command, you're not only just breaking the greatest and second greatest command, you might be setting yourself up for failure in 7 of the other 10 commandments. Let me show you what I mean. Number 1, you know that command? Have no other gods before me. What's having no other gods have to do with stealing? They're not connected. Actually, they are. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil is a thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and life to the full. And what Jesus is suggesting is you can go 2 directions. You can follow Jesus. He will lead you directly to God the Father. Or you can follow the devil, who is a thief, and he will lead you to take what isn't yours. And the beautiful thing about living with integrity is when I live with integrity, this simple kindergartenish rule, if it's not mine, I'm not going to take it. You live by that rule and you will never have a problem with serving other gods because Jesus will give you everything you need and lead you to the Father. Commandment number 2 is don't have any idols. What does having an idol have to do with stealing? Actually, a lot. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. This is written by the Apostle Paul. He said, it's kind of this long list of sins, things not to do. And he's saying, some of you, Colossians, you were doing these things earlier in your life and don't do them anymore. One of them is materialism. Literally, the word means wanting moorishness. Ladies, how many shoes do you have? Right? Guys, how many tools do you have? Not enough, just been to Lowe's, got to get one more. And I'm guilty of that. There is nothing in Home Depot that I do not want. It's sick. When you live materialistically, Paul said, materialism, which is idolatry. That's the sin of our nation. In fact, we even print on the idol we bow down to this inscription, "In God we trust." If you live by this simple rule, you know, if it's not mine, I'm not going to take it. You will not have a problem with serving another idol. And I know you're not going to bow down to a statue of Buddha or anything silly like that, but how many of us bow down to our possessions just because we want more? Here's number three. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay, pull it out of your pocket. Leviticus 19:12. We were just there. Leviticus 19:12 says, don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And typically we think, don't use four-letter words. Okay, I'm not a fan of four-letter words. Now, people who use foul language, I think it just shows a lack of creativity, if nothing else. But that's not what the third commandment is all about. Here's at the base. The third commandment sits in Leviticus 19:12 between stealing and robbing. We are using the name of God to take what isn't ours by lying. Swear to God, I'll pay you back next week. Honest to God, I have a copyright to this. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. When we use the name of God to gain trust of the other person, it is a false oath, and it is a lie, an offense against the living God himself. And that's one of the ways that people steal. But when we decide, if it's not mine, I'm not going to take it, we never have to worry about commandment number three. Commandment number four, honor the Sabbath. Has nothing to do with stealing. Commandment number five, honor your mother and father. Yeah, we already talked about that, right? Proverbs 28:24, if you're soaking off your parents, you're a thief. Commandment number six, thou shalt not murder. Has nothing to do with stealing. Commandment number seven, don't commit adultery. What's the rule? If it's not yours, don't take it. She's not your wife, dude. Don't touch it. Lady, he's not your husband. Don't touch it. It's a simple rule. And if you just follow that simple rule, everything else will fall in place. Don't bear false witness. In other words, we'll talk about this next week. Don't go to court and slander somebody else so that you can get what you want. And thou shalt not covet. That's the foundation of stealing. Here's the point I want to make in all this. If we get a hold of this one command, it has ramifications for most of the other commands of the Ten Commandments and the Bible. Guys, we've got to follow the simple kindergarten rule. If it's not yours, don't take it. Because when we live with integrity, we avoid most of the other major mistakes. It's as simple as that. Now, I want to draw a line on this with your takeaway. These commandments, as a whole, they are not prohibitions. They are pathways that lead us to the life that God wants us to live. I mean, God is not sitting up in heaven going, I want you to be miserable. I don't want you to enjoy life. He's standing up in heaven going, just follow my way, and it will be fruitful for you. The Ten Commandments go back to Mount Sinai, remember? And right after Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, the Israelites went through this wilderness wandering and ultimately into the promised land. And God said, with my blessing, you can conquer your enemies. First town they went after, it was a big one. High walls, strong army, Jericho. It fell. And the Israelites went, hoo-ah. Next, AI. It's a little bitty burb. In fact, Joshua didn't even send his whole army. Sent 300 guys. They're just going to take Ai. They're next. They got whooped. I mean, bad. 35 people died. The rest ran back home with their tail between their legs. And Joshua went to God and said, God, what up? I mean, we should have won this battle decisively. And God said, you have a thief in your midst. I told you, don't take gold. Don't take silver. Don't take the garments. You burn it all. But somebody stole. Well, who was it? God says, you go find out. So they cast lots. It finally fell to this guy named Achan. Achan was a soldier. When he saw some gold and he saw some silver, he saw some garments, he took it. He knew he wasn't supposed to have it, so he buried it in his tent, and God found him out. The entire progress of the army of God was halted because one guy was a thief. Come on. If you ask me, will you follow this rule? If it's not yours, don't take it. Will you follow that so that you could be a good person? Yeah, I'll do that until it's something I really, really want. If you ask me, would you follow that rule? Would you follow that rule if it was the honor of God? Yeah, most of the time. But I know that my Heavenly Father will forgive me my transgressions. So there will be times where I would say, I don't know. But if you ask me, would you follow this rule so that Christ Church of the Valley could keep on task with the march into this valley? Yes, every time. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a march right now. We are making hay, and hay had headway into the valley. Pastor Don's vision is 100,000 people saved because of the touch of Christ Church of the Valley by 2020, and we are on our way to that. Do you want to be the person that has gold and silver in the bottom of the tent? God is calling us to live with integrity, not for ourselves, and not even for Him, but for the lost who have yet to name the name of Christ. Holy Father, we care about this. We care about living with integrity so that your name would be honored. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us in whatever ways we are violating this simple principle. May we have the fortitude to make a change that would make a difference in the lives of those yet to name the name of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.